Truth News Network. It's time for Real News
without the spin.
The only place you'll find it is at TNN,
the Truth News Network.
Here's your political ringmaster,
your host,
Dan Newman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. So glad to have you here today. It is time for us to all stop kidding ourselves. Rank-and-file Democrats in Congress, in large part, individually at least, feel physical barriers are needed across our southern border. It's Democrat congressional leaders who have made the decision to in no way allow through congressional action the funding of a border wall or border barrier, whichever you want to call it. Why do you think they call it Donald Trump's wall? They do so deriding the president. In their doing so, they are showing Americans that they really don't support border security in any way. Besides the stories documented and shared previously on Truth News Network, Democrat leaders stoically cling to their unwillingness to protect Americans from foreign intruders. Without real security and commitment to stop the horrors caused by millions of pounds of illegal drugs flooding across the border, the unknown numbers of unwanted criminals from Mexico and Central America countries that have already committed hundreds of thousands of criminal acts against legal Americans, and their hundreds of billions of U.S. taxpayer dollars to support illegals who are draining U.S. infrastructure. All of these atrocities will simply continue. Democrat leaders look at this international disaster myopically. They only see it in one way. Allowing the continued flow of illegals into our country perpetuates the life of the Democrat Party by bringing obligated, potential Democrat voters into the U.S. Secondly, and likely just as important as getting new voters in, by keeping wall barrier funding away from Donald Trump, fulfills a campaign promise Dems made to their hard-left constituents. Their excuse? Trump wants it only because he beat the border wall drum continuously during his presidential campaign. Many say it was the chief reason for which they voted for Trump. This bipartisan committee named to sit down and work out a southern border protection policy suitable to both parties has been exposed as nothing but a sham. Even knowing the February 15th deadline to reach a negotiated agreement, this superstar committee has met just one time. The bottom line, Pelosi and Schumer have no intention to put even $1 on the table for such a wall or steel barrier. They are perfectly comfortable to maintain the status quo on the border while untold thousands of innocents are summarily being brutalized at the hands of the criminal element numbered among those illegals. For Democrats, this issue is certainly not about the safety of Americans. It is about one thing only: prevent President Trump getting any border wall or fencing with congressional funding, period. Politicians, Democrats and Republicans alike, forget about the ability to recall promises made and promises broken, like Pelosi, on negotiating with the president if he reopened the government. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said that she would not negotiate on funding for the southern border wall, going back on her promise to negotiate with President Trump if he agreed to end the partial government shutdown, which is what he did. And then she said this: there's not going to be any wall money in the legislation. She told that to reporters on January 31st, according to the Associated Press. Democrats for decades have cried loudly for the critical nature of and the people's mandate to stop illegal immigration, and Democrats wholeheartedly support for stopping illegals from getting in. Yet today, those same Dems cried just as loudly that building that same wall barrier they previously were all in for is immoral, wasteful, ineffective, unnecessary, and too costly. Look and listen for yourself at the then and now on this issue.
We want people coming in to our country based on merit and based on the fact that they are going to love our country and they respect our people and our country.
For decades, open borders have allowed drugs and gangs to pour into our most vulnerable communities. Most tragically, they have caused the loss of many innocent lives.
We are a nation of immigrants, and we should all be proud of it. But we're also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws.
Not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country.
That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more, by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before.
Families who enter our country the right way and play by the rules watch others flout the rules.
People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the U.S. legally.
And because we live in an age where terrorists are challenging our borders, we cannot allow people to pour into the U.S. undetected, undocumented, and unchecked.
We've got to do several things, and I am, you know, adamantly against illegal immigrants. Certainly, we've got to do more at our borders, and people have to stop employing illegal immigrants.
And we're working to make sure that we have sufficient facilities to detain, house, and process them appropriately. And it is unlikely that their children will be able to stay. And I've asked parents across Central America not to put their children in harm's way.
The president's decision to end DACA was heartless and it was brainless. Hundreds of thousands of families will be ripped apart.
Meanwhile, what's happening to families at the border is horrific. This is a moral and humanitarian crisis.
That's the Democrats' law. We can change it tonight. We can change
You're
it right
president.
Now.
You can
I will leave
right
here.
Now.
No.
They're telling us that the single most grave threat to America is a bunch of like poor, impoverished, broke, hungry refugees 1,000 miles away. They're even using our brave troops, sending them down as a political stunt.
The Department of Homeland Security says there's been more than a 200% spike in illegal border crossings over the past year and a 37% jump from last month to this month.
For the first time, an American president is taking a very firm line. Good. That's what's needed. Whole populations are on the move. Invasions, frankly, have to be stopped.
So what do we do? Who do we believe? Them then or them now? So what do we do? Maybe declare a national emergency? Some scholars of presidential emergency powers say there is next to nothing, at least procedurally, that Capitol Hill could do to stop President Trump from exercising what lawmakers of all stripes agree is his right to declare national emergency. Congress chose not to put any substantial or really any barriers on the president's ability to declare a national emergency, so says Elizabeth Goten, co-director of the Brennan Center for Justice's Liberty and National Security Program. So if he can really just sign his name to a piece of paper, whether it's a real emergency or not, she said, that creates a state of emergency that gives him access to these special powers that are contained in more than 100 different provisions of law that Congress has passed over the years. Trump has already invoked national emergency powers on 3 occasions. Don't forget this. Adding to the 28 earlier national emergency measures that remain in effect today. Almost all, including those signed by Trump, were invoked to freeze foreign nationals' assets in the U.S. The longest-standing decree dates back to November of 1979, when President Jimmy Carter froze Iran's U.S.-held assets. It requires not only that the president formally declare a national emergency, but also that he or she cite the specific statutory authority that the president sought to use. And I'm sure this president could name many. He's negotiated and negotiated out the wazoo with Congress to do it legislatively. An emergency declaration would lapse after 1 year unless formally renewed by the president. There is also a means for lawmakers to do away with the national emergency decree, and that makes sense. The way that Congress set it up, says Vladek, was that Congress could basically terminate any national emergency the president declared through a concurrent resolution, simply through majority votes of both houses without the president's approval. That veto-free arrangement that they structured, though, did not pass constitutional muster when it went before the Supreme Court in 1983. Congress's response was to revise the National Emergencies Act so that the termination of an emergency decree required a joint resolution signed by the president. If the president vetoes that measure, a two-thirds majority vote in each chamber, the House of Representatives and the Senate, would be needed to override. That fix effectively set the political bar considerably higher for reigning in presidential national emergency declarations. That is, should Congress ever try to do that. Congress has never voted once in the last 40 years since the National Emergencies Act was put in effect to terminate a state of emergency, said Gotin. At no point, either before the court's decision or after, has Congress ever attempted to exercise this check. That may be, at least in part, because lawmakers trusted the National Emergency Act was being invoked in good faith. The assumption is that presidents are going to be relatively responsible in using those authorities and resources, says UT's Vladek, and are not going to just create some kind of pretext to allow them to go through a back door when Congress is denying them the front door. In summary today, let me just ask you this. Is it any wonder that the favorability rating by Americans and members of Congress for years has hovered around the high single digits? Sometimes it gets over 10, 11, 12, 13, but most of the time it's around 8 or 9. One would think that if our elected representatives really gave a hoot about the public's collective and individual opinions about their job performances, we'd do something about it. We really do care. And we have only sparingly done something about it at the voting booth. Yet term after term, Americans send those U.S. senators and House representatives right back to D.C. to keep on doing the same old things. In a way, this mess in D.C. and their 7 to 10% favorability rating is our fault. We keep voting them back into office. They're not stupid, folks. They read voter support and re-election of congressional representatives and approval for what they do while they're there. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Here is the truth of the matter. Americans have become too busy, too preoccupied, too caught up in instant everything to even notice. The internet, social media, instant this and instant that have created a generation of instant everything Americans. The current generation literally wants no responsibility. No responsibility for anything. No accountability. And no commitments. Those apply to home and auto ownership, job titles, and management positions because of personal and employee accountability and pressure required to be successful. And personal and social relationship commitments are long gone out the window. I want a great job with great pay, lots of paid time off, all in-job retirement benefits paid 100% by the boss, and nothing more than 9-to-5 work hours Monday through Friday, and certainly no weekend commitments. That's what they say when they come in and look for a job nowadays. But how about knowledge? Think about that. They're not interested in reading. They're not interested in investigating, time obligations and financial commitments are necessary to obtain knowledge. And if it's not on the front page of their favorite internet news channel, Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat, forget about it. It ain't happening. All that's pretty scary. But here's the tragedy of it all. Washington, D.C. and its minions, they know all this. It's what has perpetuated their consuming power for their own personal benefit at American taxpayer expense that comes with no accountability. Voters just keep sending them back to D.C. to do the same selfish acts again and again and again. And we have no price we require them to pay for their doing their selfish acts. It's crazy, folks. It's absolutely crazy. The irony of this is the new leftists in the Democrat Party have beat the socialist drum louder and louder and louder. We want to make Americans government socialist. Capitalism is evil, they say. Capitalists are tools of Satan. We want to be like European and South American nations. And not one can tell you anything about the horrors socialism wreaked on every one of those nations. Example, Venezuela, once one of the richest countries on earth because of its oil holdings, cannot even provide toilet paper to their citizens, who have on average, incidentally, lost 30 pounds each on average during the last year because the unavailability in Venezuela of basic food. The Democrat leftists won't open borders, just like Europe. They don't read, and their favorite leftist media site does not carry the true stories of immigrant horrors in those European countries, countries who all, right now, today, are desperately trying to find ways to not just stop further immigration from the Middle East primarily to their countries, but to return those immigrants to the countries from which they came. Rape, break-ins, murders, theft, armed robberies, assault of every type are saturating European countries like the Netherlands, Germany, France, Austria, Switzerland. In the cases of these leftists in America, ignorance is bliss. At least that's what Democrat Party leaders promote so as to maintain their political might and power over these mind-numb robots that refuse to find and embrace real truths. I'll close with this. The current U.S. president is terrifying to Democrat Party leaders and establishment Republicans too. Why? Because he refuses to play the political games as planned by those who lead both parties. He is unpredictable, totally driven by his commitments to Americans, and most scary, he is undeterred by the constant threats from the left. They're not accustomed to someone in power from the opposite party not caving and not being afraid. They have met their match in this president, Donald Trump. Let me put it simply and cut to the chase. Regardless of how dishonest, uncaring, politically deliberate, and mean Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are, they have met their match. With or without a declaration of a national emergency, Donald Trump will build a southern border wall. Oh, it may be steel, it may be concrete, but probably both together. But you know what the real victory will be? Not that in doing so, he wins a battle against the opposition, against establishment Republicans who want everything to stay just like they are, or Democrats who just simply can't stand Donald Trump winning another victory that they perceive to be at their expense. The only victory that matters is that for the American people, stopping illegal immigration and all that comes with it. Isn't that what we vote for and send people to Washington to do? Why should anyone be surprised when someone in D.C. actually does what they promised to do? Wow. Well, it's going to play out here in the next few weeks. We'll sit anxiously and watch it and wait to see what happens at the southern border. I just told you what I think is going to happen. You think maybe the Dems will cave before that and fund a wall? I don't think so. Hey, listen, I know you had a great weekend, and I want you to have an even better week. Stay close this week, a lot going on. Till we talk again, have a great day. So long, everyone.
We don't tell you what to think,
but we give you truth to think about. This is TNN, the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.